Hi, Paul Sackis, Good News Planet. We're going to speak about a form of liver disease and liver cancer on the rise. Why? And we have on the line here a patient, actually, Donna Cryer, who is actually a transplant patient and president and CEO of the Global Liver Institute. And hello, good morning, Donna. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Very good. That's what we want to hear. And she is joined by Wayne Eskridge, founder of the Fatty Liver Foundation, and was diagnosed with NASH several years ago. Well, why don't we go right to NASH, N-A-S-H. What does that stand for, Wayne?
That means non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, which is a fancy way to say inflammation of the liver. And it's the inflammation that leads to the death of liver cells. So it's unfortunate that when people hear NASH, they think of old cars or singers, but it really is a very serious liver disease, and it's one that's on the rise in America, and it's a literal tidal wave. We have about 100 million people in America that have fatty liver disease, and out of those, about 20 million have NASH. So I'm one of those 20 million, and so one of my concerns is that I don't develop liver cancer, and it's one of the things that haunts us all as patients because it's rising so fast and it's a deadly disease.
Okay. I have a fatty liver as well, and so I also have concern in this regard. Maybe we can talk a little bit about how that occurs and how can we get to, you know, do better with it. Donna Cryer, I mean, you're actually a liver transplant patient. Did you have a fatty liver and that's why you got a liver transplant? Or why do people do that?
I did not personally have a fatty liver, but unfortunately, if people with fatty liver and NASH are allowed to progress, they could end up in end-stage liver disease like I had, needing a transplant or progressing to liver cancer. So, you know, my reason for being here and for building the Global Liver Institute is so fewer patients end up in end-stage liver disease like I did. So for someone like you with fatty liver, I would want to make sure that your primary care doctors are really paying close attention to you, that they are looking to catalog any other risk factors that you have, you know, whether it's overweight or prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, high cholesterol, hypertension. Fatty liver disease is really part of this constellation of metabolic syndromes, and they have a interplay reinforcing and making each other worse. So we'd want to make sure that all aspects of metabolic syndrome are addressed in a patient with fatty liver disease. We'd want to make sure that you are having liver enzymes tested for liver function tests, and that you have some type of imaging to be able to show the amount of that may have infiltrated into your liver and how stiff it is. That's the fibrosis. So, you know, showing how much scarring there is at the, you know, the right intensity of intervention or other medications can be provided to you while we're on the way to developing a specific treatment for NASH.
So what would be one of the initial reasons why? I had it on my side and then they did I thought it was sonogram. And I found and said I had this. But what are some of the symptoms that our audience should be aware of for fatty
liver
really, and more liver concern?
Doing more risk-based screening because often in the early stages, the symptoms may be really vague, like, and who isn't tired these days? And so well before you see abnormal you know, bleeding or fluid collections or yellowing of the skin or those some of more, you know, typical signs of very advanced liver disease, we really do want people to just look at their risk factors and then get exactly what you've been doing in terms of getting blood work and imaging. That gives us a better picture earlier and gives us a better chance of addressing it. Too many people have just been told, that they have a little, you know, quote unquote, a little fatty liver, but don't worry about it. And then several years down the road, they find out they need a transplant. So we're trying to intervene in those few years where, for patients like you, like you've worked with your care team, to identify it early so you can get the other risk factors in control and maybe lose a little weight and drink some more coffee and do those things so that you can slow the progression of disease to NASH and liver cancer.
Uh-huh. I just add one question because a transplant sounds... are livers available? How do people get a transplant? That seems to me quite dear.
Well, you know, one of the things that is, transplants are a miracle. They really are. But we're doing approaching 8,000 transplants a year, and we're diagnosing about 70,000 cases of cirrhosis. So the transplant isn't generally available to most people. So the solution that's available to the average person is to change their diet and lifestyle to be friendlier to their liver and to be more beneficial to their health, which is to reduce the causes of the fat that's accumulating in their liver.
Elaine, NASH is non-alcoholic. So does that mean people don't drink at all and still have a liver concern, or what does that actually mean?
I think the recommendations for anybody has any type of liver disease or liver damage is to limit their alcohol. I think the name was really created to distinguish it from liver disease that was caused by alcohol. So many people find out that they have NASH and their first thought is, well, I didn't drink. This highlights that there are many causes of liver diseases, whether autoimmune like I had or viral or lifestyle driven like NASH, that have nothing to do with alcohol. So we want to sort of raise people's, drivers of liver disease so that really recognize that if you have a liver, you're at risk of some type of liver disease, and paying attention to liver health is something that all of us need to do.
Tell us about the Global Liver Institute, Donna.
I founded the Global Liver Institute on the 20th anniversary of my transplant. I wanted to make sure that other patients had access to the same level of innovation that saved my life and sustains me today. And so we're the only patient-driven advocacy organization for liver health that operates in the U.S. and Europe. And one of the things that we are most proud of is our support for and training other patients to create their own organizations or support groups or do policy work or work in research. And so we'll have our Advanced Advocacy Academy soon. And it's one of the cornerstones of the work of the Global Liver Institute.
And what's your website? Do you have one?
We do. It's globalliver.org.
Aha. Okay, Wayne, tell us about the Fatty Liver Foundation, since you're the founder. And have a fatty liver.
I was diagnosed in 2015, and I found out that the information that was available to the average patient was really poor and contradictory and was not helpful. As I actually improved my situation and got control of my health, I decided that it would be good to create a resource where people could get curated, more scientific information about the disease, and that led me to form the foundation and the website, fattyliverfoundation.org.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you both for coming out and speaking about this. Obviously, it's extremely important for more people to learn about it and to know about it. But let me ask just one last question, because we're involved, we're a good news podcast, we're involved with peace, world peace. I ask a lot of people, what does peace mean to them? And if you wouldn't mind, Donna, and just sharing, well, what is peace for you?
Peace for me is knowing that I have used this gift of life in a way that honors the gift. I think that every day I do the work of the Global Liver Institute and help even one person take better control of their health or advocate and extend the chain of people helping other people, that brings me great peace.
Uh-huh. Beautiful. Thank you. Wayne, for you?
Well, peace, that's a really tough question.
Cause it
you
is.
Can think,
I'm sorry.
About worldwide things or more personal things. We're about saving lives. You know, the goals that we have as the foundation is really to intervene in the disease processes, and I get great satisfaction out of the feedback that I get from people who have improved themselves, and I feel that that brings peace to them and their families. So I suppose spreading peace would be the way I would think about what we do in terms of the real life enjoyment that people can have if they don't get themselves ill.
You two are both great great Samaritans, great citizens on Mother Earth. Thank you very much. I appreciate the important information. Thank you.
Thank you.